This Saturday at 7:30 at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium, the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra will offer a holiday program that features a number of guest artists. And here to talk about it is the maestra of the symphony, Ann Harrigan, back once again at Classical WMUK. Good morning.
Good morning, Kara. It's so wonderful to be here on this festive-feeling morning. Lots of winter snow.
Right. Road's not too icy, I hope, on your way down?
No, not at all. And all of my Florida relatives would be dying to be here right now. They just love the idea of snow in December.
It's more than an idea right now.
It is. It's very pretty.
We have the real thing. Well, terrific. We were just here, a month ago, talking about Guys and Dolls, the second concert on your season so far. I got myself out of my house and drove down and made it at 7:27 and paid for my ticket and had a real ball watching Guys and Dolls and seeing the cast come together and the orchestra, especially bringing back that full sound. It was a wonderful performance.
Well, thank you, Kara. I was so happy to see you there. And we had a great audience. People loved the performance. It felt so wonderful to be performing for audiences again.
Yeah.
We were online all last year. And to have such an enthusiastic audience. And it's just kind of building up the momentum. And the other thing is, it's really exciting to see that we can do this. Of course, we had, quite a full house and no issues, no outbreaks. And so we are feeling more confident that, with the proper safety measures that we have in place, we can do everything possible to make sure that people can have a good time and be safe.
Everyone was wearing masks.
Yes.
And hooting and hollering at the every time one of the big show numbers ended. Were some of the orchestra players also masked?
All of the orchestra is masked at all times, except when they are physically playing a wind instrument. And some of them actually have masks that cover, while they're playing, but most of them will keep their mask on. And some of them have become quite adept. You'll have to try this, Kara, at whipping on and off the masks measures before they play.
Right. It can get to be quite a comedy of grabbing your mask.
It can be. It's a whole choreography. But I think we've all gotten really good at it. And it's interesting. It doesn't bother me at all. Of course, I come from a family of scientists, and they've doctors, they've been wearing masks their whole lives, so they kind of look at me and say, yeah. But I'm pretty used to it at this point. I'm used to conducting with a mask. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is that we're just so excited to be making music together, and we enjoy it so much that I don't even notice it. I forget all about it.
Well, let's look at Christmas's past. Last year, no one in the audience, but you did present a wonderful videotaped version of Dickens' Christmas Carol. Let's see. There was a gospel Christmas a couple years ago. There was a Celtic Christmas.
Yes.
This one looks decidedly funky.
It is. It's really fun. I'm excited. It's a holiday extravaganza, which means we're really mixing things up. We have everything from clarinet candy, traditional Leroy Anderson sleigh ride, kids conducting contest winners.
Oh, really?
Polar Express, to the beautiful Diane Penning, to the brilliant young talents of Minor Element and Brandon Fitzpatrick. So, yes, we have quite a range.
Well, we have to start somewhere. I'd love to kick off some things, kick off some selections this hour. You mentioned Clarinet Candy, and that isn't a Leroy Anderson tune?
That is a Leroy Anderson standard. Leroy Anderson wrote these great pieces of Americana. Sleigh Ride is his most favorite, but also Bugler's Holiday and Pizzicato, and there's a string piece I don't remember the name of. And there's a certain generation of us who remember these pieces with great affection. And so this is just one of his wonderful bonbons that he does for the orchestra called Clarinet Candy.
Again, the concert's Saturday at 7:30, W.K. Kellogg Auditorium. You'll find the details at battlecreeksymphony.org.
Thank you.
That's a tune by Leroy Anderson called Clarinet Candy, and you can hear it live when the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra presents its holiday extravaganza on Saturday. And my guest here today is Ann Harrigan, the longtime director of the Battle Creek Symphony, as well as the Billings Symphony off in Montana. And she's been juggling both through seasons of difficulty and COVID, but this you've already had two successful in-person concerts, and this will be number three. And, of course, everyone's in the mood.
So in the mood. Can't wait for our holiday concerts. It's been too long, and we're looking forward to celebrating with everybody together. So that's this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at the beautiful W.K. Kellogg Auditorium.
Now, since we just played some Leroy Anderson, I just wondered, did you ever meet or run into Arthur Fiedler? Because that's the guy that I of as the Christmas album guy and the Boston Pops.
I never got to meet him. No, I didn't. He was not where I was at the time. I did get to go to Boston, and I did get to meet Leonard Bernstein, a similar, age. But I missed Arthur Fiedler, but you're right. But a colleague of mine succeeded him, somebody who I knew from conducting workshops, the current director. So that's kind of weird, to see Keith Lockhart, because he is now the Arthur Fiedler. Uh-huh. And back when I knew him, we were all conducting students. So that's kind of cool.
Is there something when conductors get together that kind of emerges as a theme about playing Pops concerts? Are they just harder than they look, and you have to make it look easy when it's actually hard, that kind of thing?
Oh, well, it's very true. If you've ever heard Doug LeBrec, who we all know, Pops concerts are an art form in their own. And because there are so many tempi, there's so much phrasing, oftentimes many more pieces. For example, in a symphony concert, you'll typically have three or four pieces which have a certain style that you need to express. And with a Pops concert, you'll have 20. Sometimes.
It's like a whole kaleidoscope of personalities.
Yes, it is. And you want to really be true to the essence of each of the pieces. And you typically have fewer rehearsals. Ironically. Sometimes some orchestras as little as one. And so, yes, they are incredibly challenging. It's gotten to the point where some people just specialize. I do both. But also finding the music, getting the rights. There's a lot that's involved with all of it, and great collaborations between artists. And fortunately, there are some fantastic artists even in this area. And one of the very best is Diane Penning, who is one of our guest artists, in terms of somebody who really knows the repertoire, who can deliver a wide range of genres, crazy wide, actually. She is a spectacular coloratura. First time I heard her singing was in Queen of the Night with Michigan Opera Theater.
Oh, my.
To give you an idea. Yeah. And nails
you don't
it.
Don't take that on very lightly.
No. And she's sort of America's sweetheart, I'd say, in terms of the Pops genre. She can do the old style. She can do classical. She can do coloratura. She can do jazz. And she's just one of the nicest people that I've ever had the opportunity to work with. And so it's always a joy. And, Carmina Burana, that's one of her specialties. So you can see just, what an incredibly talented woman this is. So this is somebody who, we're thrilled to feature as our guest artist.
Diane Penning will be on the program Saturday. It begins at 7:30 at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium, as Ann said. We can take another musical break here and listen to one of her featured pieces, O Holy Night. I'm not sure if this is a commercial recording or Diane, but I'm assuming it's...
Oh, this is Diane live.
This is a live recording of Ms. Penning. Well, aren't we lucky? Let's listen to that. Reminder that you can find details on the concert along with tickets at battlecreeksymphony.org. And if we are really lucky, we may get a few words from Diane herself. We'll try and get her on the phone line and have her talk about her work as well.
Thank you.
That was Diane Penning herself with the Billings Orchestra. If I'm not mistaken, my guest will be able to confirm that.
Yes, Billings Symphony Orchestra and Chorale.
Anne Harrigan is my guest here in the studio, and joining us online right now is Diane Penning herself. Welcome to Classical WMUK, Diane.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Is it strange to hear your own voice over the phone line coming to you?
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. Yeah. And actually, speaking of Kalamazoo and Western Michigan University, that's where I did my graduate work. So I have a special feeling for that place.
Oh, there's a lot of special people here, too, you know, Carl mm-hmm. Ratner and all of the opera folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You certainly have this ability to float notes over a giant orchestra. It sounds wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a joy to do that. I mean, it's a real blessing to be able to do that, I'll tell you.
Is it a little disconcerting in person when you have a, you know, 60 to 80 people playing and then you're the one thing that really has to get through, that is singing the song, telling the story?
Yeah. The thing is, when I'm singing in my range, it's not a problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I were singing in a lower range, then it would be a huge problem. But when it's the right spot for me, then it feels effortless, really.
This is one of the pieces on the program. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. That's correct.
Oh, Holy Night. Yes. Are you exclusively a classical performer, or do you also do other kinds of music trained for that?
Yeah, no, I'm not exclusively a classical performer. I absolutely do a lot of Broadway and standard music as well. Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything special about this time of year as a performer that you look forward to?
Yeah, you know, holiday concerts, I've done many of them with orchestras. And it, first of all, when a community supports an orchestra like this, that says a lot about the community, because all these people who have devoted their lives to perfecting their art and then share it with us, that is one thing that is such a joy to be a part of. And I do feel like a guest in the family of these orchestras and their audience. And it feels like they're having a big Christmas party and I've been invited, and I just feel grafted right onto the tree. It's really special.
That's wonderful. Maybe, Anne, you could tell us about how you discovered Diane Penning, since, of course, you invited her to be parts of your concerts before.
Well, Diane, I don't remember what the first thing we did together, I think, was a Messiah. I'm thinking years ago, but I'm trying to remember. We've done a lot together. I mean, Diane is so beloved in the area and has such a wide range. So I can't think of what the first thing we did together, because we've done so many projects here and there. We've done Carmina Burana, I know.
Yeah.
And you've got such a wide range of different styles. We've done a number of different pop things. You've performed with Doug LeBrecq. You've performed on fundraisers for us. So in Montana and here. So
I feel very, very fortunate to have had all those wonderful experiences with you in the orchestra. Yeah.
Well, that's a nice relationship to know, you know, to know about, and to try different things. I know. I could probably speak for Anne in saying you really love it when you find a performer that you can rely on and is versatile enough to use in different kinds of programs like that. Yeah,
it really is. And somebody who can just, I shouldn't say can just show up, because that minimizes everything that happens before showing up. But when Diane comes, you know, it's easy. Like, it's a piece of cake, because everything is so organized and so prepared, and there's never a question, no matter what style of music it is. And we're going to be having some fun with some different styles. I think we have everything from a cappella sort of spirituals to a new piece that's been written by Jim Stevenson, which we don't have a recording for because it's brand new. And also we are going to be doing some standards, Let It Snow. And I'm trying to think what else. Ave Maria. What are some of the other tunes we're doing, Diane?
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Right.
Holy Night. Maybe you know that already.
Yes.
Sweet Little Jesus Boy is the is the spiritual, which is so beautiful and poignant, and especially now, it just is really, really special.
It is. Oh, and you are you are not only part of the Christmas party, you're actually one of the Christmas presents.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, that means there may be an appearance by a life-size mechanical doll.
Oh, okay.
You know, since it is the season of gifts and toys, this doll may make an appearance. I'm pretty sure she will. And
if everything goes right.
And she, yes. And she has a wonderful costume that she wears and a magic golden key that is used to wind her up if she should happen to run out of gas, which does happen occasionally. So, yeah, that's a really fun element that that is pretty exciting and out of the ordinary.
Well, tickets for kids. Are they priced specially for kids and families for this show?
Yes. We have tickets are online, and there's a wide range of prices. It's you can call 269-963-1911, or you said battlecreeksymphony.org, and all the information is there online.
It's funny you mentioned, you know, this special mechanical doll, Diane, because I was just gearing up to ask a somewhat shallow question about what to wear. I mean, that it would be a concern. This time of year, you want to look Christmassy, and you may even have a wardrobe that you've collected over the years to be ready for holiday concerts. Is that accurate?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it is. I have, we have a room in the lower level. It's called the dress room, actually, because I've been, you know, I've sung with over 30 orchestras, and I don't have, you know, that many dresses. But I have quite a few that I've picked up over the years, and it's really fun to wear them for concerts. I wouldn't want to walk around the house in them, but it's really fun to dress up for holiday concerts, yeah.
What you don't know is backstage there's a marathon going on because Diane, in fact, wears several, I think 3 or 4 different outfits during the course of the concert.
Yay.
Yep, that's true. Guilty, yes.
Is there a special fit? I mean, there are kinds of restrictive clothing that could affect your ability to, you know, fully draw in a breath of air. Are there kind of secret styles that you're looking for?
No, nothing is too restrictive,
Good.
It's a matter of slipping in and out quickly. Costumes, yeah.
Well, we've got some other music here. We've got the song we were talking about, the present song. We've got Sweet Little Jesus Boy, and I think we've got Let It Snow. What do you think we'd... Is that right, Kara?
Yeah, we got all of those.
Anything you'd like to start off with, Diane?
No, please choose.
I'm going to choose Let It Snow.
That sounds perfect.
That sounds all right. Diane, it's been wonderful to add you to this conversation and hear your take on what a holiday concert is all about, what you're going to bring to it. And I'm sure you've left some surprises for Saturday.
Yes, I have. And thank you so much for having me. It was a delight to be with you both.
Okay. Thank you.
For Anne, it's just bye for now.
Yep, see you on Friday.
Yes, bye for now. See you soon. Okay,
all right. Bye-bye. We're going to take another musical break. Details on this concert are available at battlecreeksymphony.org. We'll be back with Anne Harrigan after we hear another holiday selection from the BCSO's Holiday Extravaganza. listening to a live highlight from a concert given by my guest, Maestra Anne Harrigan, with her second orchestra, the Billings Symphony, and special guest Diane Penning singing. If you just tuned in, we just had a conversation with Diane about her appearance this Saturday with the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, with a big range of tunes, as we were talking about.
Definitely. Everything from a brand new piece to O Holy Night to opera arias to standards, as you just heard, and spirituals.
Well, and tell me about this new piece, even though we can't hear it.
Oh, it's written by Jim Stevenson. It's called Hey Santa. Jim Stevenson is a prolific composer out of Chicago. He's commissioned or has had commissioned works for almost all of the Chicago brass players. He's a tuba concerto, a bass trombone concerto, several trumpet concertos. He also is well known with American tunes. And so this is a little bit different than he's done, and it's a brilliant, fun piece. It requires a kind of vocal flexibility and speed that Diane has. And so it's a rifle shot of text that comes out, and it's very, very jazzy. It's a lot of fun. Hmm. I did it last year with a jazz band, and I'm very excited to be doing it with Diane this year with the Battle Creek Symphony.
Oh, that's really cool. It takes me right back to Guys and Dolls and, you know, the opening fugue or something
that. Oh, yes, exactly, where that text is just coming at you, you know, so quickly. So, but this is Diane's appearance. It's only part of the program that we have. We're also going to be featuring a very popular and newly popular local group. A lot of people know this group. They know Brandon Fitzpatrick and Minor Element. This is a relatively new fusion jazz group, and I'm very excited that they'll be performing with us. This will be their debut with the Battle Creek Symphony, and we are going to be performing a piece of theirs called Finster that will have a special arrangement for the ensemble and the orchestra.
I've had a chance to cross paths with Minor Element here at WMUK when they were just getting started. They were using, and I think they still do employ people in the jazz program at Western to fill out these enormous arrangements. So it's a group that, to me, is living a kind of dream that most bands don't aim for. It's a nine-piece group that has access to a lot of different colors, and it's held down by these two great, great friends who grew up in Battle Creek.
They did. James McGee and Brandon Fitzpatrick is what you're thinking of?
Braulio is the green. And Brandon has talked about that on a few interviews. You can find them at WMUK.org. And this piece, Finster, is pretty new. I think it was just released this fall on their most recent recording. Brandon is an uncompromising musician. He wants his vision to be realized, and that is why this band exists in the form it does, and that focuses on long-ranging instrumental pieces with lots of different sections and grooves to them. And then he himself is a monster keyboard player.
Yes, he is. He is a brilliant player, and I think he's definitely the kingpin that holds it together. It's very exciting to see how this is going to work out with the orchestra.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people and just colors on stage. We have three separate keyboards. We have saxophone. We have drums. We have guitar. Plus, you know, the entire, you know, 59 pieces of the orchestra. So there's a lot happening, and it's just very exciting to have a group out of Battle Creek, you know, that has established such a reputation so quickly. You can go anywhere in this area. If anybody who knows the music scene, like, oh yeah, Minor Element, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited to be featuring them. And some of our audience members may not have heard them, but I know that they will fall instantly in love with them.
There is a in-studio music session with them at WMUK.org that goes back a few years, like I said. And I believe you'll find examples of their playing and their music and their look on their own website, Minor Element. Another ambition of Brandon and friends is to create a factory, basically, of music.
Yes.
Options. And so they not only consider themselves a band, but they assist other bands in kind of coming to fruition, making their own sound, and putting it under a certain label.
Yes, they label black sheep.
Yeah.
So, no, that's very true. They're definitely interested in nurturing and fostering all sorts of different art forms in the area under this. And so it's an exciting vision that they have. They have a board of directors. They're also very interested in documenting the visual piece of it. So we're going to be doing some behind-the-scenes videotaping, you know, kind of what it goes into. So it's wonderful to meet with artists, again, from our hometown with such high standards and such commitment to great art and a different variety of art, everything from jazz to hip-hop to classical. Brandon also teaches keyboard at Anjay Kellogg Elementary. So he really has a range.
That's incredible. And I don't want to get down on Battle Creek. There are lots of towns that are just kind of making it through some hard times. And the attitude becomes, you shouldn't try too hard because you'll be disappointed or something like that. I mean, that's happening here in Kalamazoo. Battle Creek has had some rough news in the last year or so with jobs and losses and things like that. So it is actually a real beacon of hope when you have this kind of do-it-yourself industry that calls itself Battle Creek based, you know?
Oh, definitely is that case. And I think actually coming from, you know, a different perspective, it's very true that Battle Creek suffers, you know, from some of the economic challenges that a lot of smaller Michigan towns do. But I personally find that Battle Creek is unique in its mindset. It never lets itself get beat down. And it kind of follows along, you know, the inspiration of the Underground Railroad that was a stop there, Sojourner Truth, that chose make her home there. Of course, the Kellogg brothers, you know, Post, the great newspaper they had there. And the first time I came to Battle Creek, I could feel something very different about that community compared to communities of its size in other areas of the state who have gotten beat down. And there's something about the spirit that it never lets up. And so this is, I think that's, you know, typical of the Battle Creek Symphony. I mean, the quality of the performance for a community that size, for a budget that size, really exceeds expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. Punching way above your weight. You know, not just symphonically, chorally,
yep. It's
theater-wise, there's an amazing scene.
Thank you. Yeah. So when we see partners like that, you know, it's definitely, we're talking a small town. We're talking about a town with one coffee shop, basically.
Oh, it's not enough.
You know, and so, it's a very tight-knit community. But with Battle Creek Symphony, we don't always get to know some of these other types of groups. So it's a nice synergy when things come together. As it turns out, you know, one of the board members, James McGee, he's a former Sojourner Truth Choir member. He's a former Impact member. And so these kids got started. And I shouldn't say kids because they're young adults, but they got started as kids through the Music Center's programs that were free. So that makes it even more exciting to see now. Here they are, you know, performing, as you said, very high standards of music and giving back to the community by teaching at the same time.
We're talking about Minor Element, and they are not a minor part of Saturday's concert, a holiday extravaganza with the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra. It's at 7:30 at WK Kellogg Auditorium. Kids are welcome, families welcome, and you'll find all the details at battlecreeksymphony.org. Time for another musical selection.
Let's
find something here.
So one of the pieces that will be performing with the orchestra is a beloved piece. I think you've got it. It's the Polar Express Suite. And I think this is something that will be a lot of fun for kids and adults alike.
a new modern classic, the film score to Polar Express. It's on the program for Saturday, and my guest Anne Harrigan will be directing a concert filled with lots of treats, is one way to put it.
A Christmas gift to our community.
Yeah. The details are at battlecreeksymphony.org. Now, here's a great time to tell the story of how you gave an opportunity to all the young people in Battle Creek and nearby a chance to get up in front of the orchestra and conduct, only it didn't come about last year.
Yes. Do you remember when we thought the pandemic was going to last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I was sure of it.
Just about that time, we decided we were going to have a kids conducting contest for the following December. And so we sent out an information and invited kids to submit videos of themselves conducting, and thinking that it would be last December, of course, we were sure, positive would be through all of this by then. And we had a number of really fun and adorable submissions, but my favorite was a young lady who is a member of the Battle Creek Girls Chorus, and she submitted a video conducting her stuffed animal orchestra. It was fantastic. It was so much fun. She put so much time and effort into this, and so she will be having an opportunity to conduct the most iconic, beloved Christmas Pops tune ever written, which, of course, is Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride. So she's very excited, still available, and she'll be joining us. But even though we were not able to perform last year, we will be inviting her to conduct with the orchestra this coming Saturday. And we couldn't be more pleased that she's going to be our special guest conductor.
You know, I wish you luck with all the moving pieces.
Thank you.
There will be a lot of people behind the scenes trying to doing their best to help, backstage, on stage, sound folks, and mixing. And that's what a holiday Christmas card kind of looks like.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's such a great way to get together. And we're looking forward to having everybody. It's a little earlier this year, so Battle Creek audiences, remember, it is in fact this coming Saturday, so at 7:30 p.m. at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium. And it's a Christmas card, a Christmas extravaganza, and we can't wait to share this wonderful music with our community.
Okay, once all the concert's over for you, do you get to relax and just, hang out for the rest of the season?
Well, no, I go to Montana,
Okay. Where
we're doing a country Christmas, a brand new show, of course, that has never been done before, so that'll be fun. And we are actually very much in the throes of planning for the 2022-2023 season. And that has to be finished really by January 1 so that we can start getting all our ducks in a row and announcing in March. It takes quite a while to get everything set. So not quite yet, but this is the fun part, celebrating with everybody. And it's great to kick off the season this way.
And I'm going to see you again in March for The New World.
Yes.
That will feature, I'm assuming, the Dvorak night.
Yes, Dvorak New World Symphony and a world premiere.
Well, just don't make it easy on yourself.
And then, of course, Gilmore right after that, right?
May 7th, the Gilmore concert with Peja Muzijevic, who is a really terrific artist. And I have seen him, I think we mentioned this before, back in October or November, I've seen him play John Cage, and you said you'd seen him play some vast romantic piece.
Actually Mozart.
Oh, Mozart.
Mozart is brilliant, but he'll be performing the Beethoven 4th Piano Concerto, which, stunningly enough, because it is my favorite concerto of all time, we have never performed it at the Battle Creek Symphony while I've been music director, which is shocking.
It's a high time for...
Oh, I'll say. And what an artist to do it with, right? With Peja.
Oh, gosh. Lots to look forward to. Thank you so much for spending an hour here at Classic Ensemble UMUK with your schedule like this. And yeah, it's really fun to talk to you.
Well, thank you.